live from my dangerous Dutch super secret seed box.
Coming to you from Rustin Tustin.
In the morning, Nathan Penetration.
In the morning, Brian Black.
Yes, I've used Vulture to create a seed box in the Netherlands for the show. All 200 episodes.
Cool. You get it cheap?
It's one of the storage ones. I think I'm paying $10 a month. It seeds other stuff too, obviously. But the seed is web accelerated along with the bandwidth that Vulture has. So it's extra fast. So if you've got a gigabit connection, you could easily pull down every episode of the show from that torrent at 100 megabytes a second. Not bits, bytes.
Yeah, because Vulture runs everything on those NVMe SSDs.
Yeah, not the storage one, though. The storage one, you could probably pull like 10 to 20 megabytes a second from the Vulture box that I'm using. You'd be pulling like 60 to 70 or more from Amazon because it's web seeded through S3, and then the torrent portion of it and the distributed hash tracking is done from the Vulture box. So combined, everything's really, really fast. It's to be redundant.
Okay.
The web seed is in Virginia, I think. Then the seed box is actually in the Netherlands. And they were out of those boxes once I bought them up. So their data center is growing. They're fully saturating all their networks. So you should seed it.
Yeah.
Need some help with that. Dustin is downloading. You know, maybe I shouldn't bring the Asgard network up. We kind of let that go. But anyway, he's pulling your bandwidth right now.
I want to talk about cryptocurrency a little bit.
Mm. Yeah.
It's pretty crazy where it's at right now. You know what's strange is I've been waiting for months for something to significantly drop down to where it was before.
It won't go back to where it was.
The only one that had a dip was Ethereum. Bitcoin and Litecoin have been on the been basically increasing nonstop since late April.
Yeah. People just like to speculate. Then one day, it'll just all be gone.
Yeah. Well, there's always going to be new cryptocurrencies that come in, though. They'll have Bitcoin. Well, they had the fork already, and then they'll probably have some Bitcoin successor at some point.
I'm still not clear about what happened with the Bitcoin fork. Bitcoin Cash?
Bitcoin Cash, yeah.
There was some technical reason for it. I don't remember what the benefit was. Coinbase will support it next year. That's what they've said. So that means whatever Bitcoin you had in your wallet, you now have twice that. You have that amount in Bitcoin and that amount in Bitcoin Cash, which was part of the reason for the huge run-up in price for Bitcoin. And for some weird reason, it's still not going down. We'll see what happens once Coinbase starts to unlock your Bitcoin Cash in your account. If you still had any active Bitcoin. Because right now, I think it's trading for like $300. I'm not sure.
I'm just waiting for one of them to drop significantly, and then I'm just going to put a lot of money in. I'm just going to wager. Like, if Litecoin dropped back down to, like, low 40s, I'd probably put in, like, $500 worth.
Okay, so let's say right now it dropped. You have to have your money, at least in Coinbase, you have to have it in your wallet already.
Yeah, I was going to do that.
Okay, it's going to take 4 days for that cash to transfer.
Do they do the business day bullshit, or is it actually 4 days? I was going to do it this weekend.
It's all bank holidays and crap.
Well, I don't know. Hopefully,
start it now and find out.
Hopefully, it keeps climbing until like mid next week, and then I'll be able to buy. And then if it drops, I'll be able to buy in.
you can always average in. So if you bought Litecoin now, because you can't predict the future, you would buy a little bit.
I want to minimize my transactions so I don't spend pay as much for the...
Yeah, so you have to do everything in increments of 100. So if you spent 100 out of the 500, if it went up, you gained whatever, 20% or something. Then if it took a shit, you can put in 200 and your average buy-in price is now half. Or roughly. You do the math on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't mind. Like, the thing is, if I was going to buy even like $30 worth or $40 worth, if I was just making that one purchase, you know, at that time, if I ended up losing a couple dollars on that, that's not a big deal to me.
You only lose when you sell.
Yeah, but I would sell it probably shortly after if I made a significant amount in return on whatever I was putting money into, I would probably sell it quickly after. And then I would probably wait till just see how things are for like a couple months, and then maybe I would pull more money out of my account and buy in again.
It also helps to kind of spread it. But
like, the bottom line is, let's say I got like $2,000 or $3,000 worth of Bitcoin, Litecoin, or whatever, or Ethereum. As soon as that $3,000 was in my wallet, I would be trying to get that out of my Coinbase wallet and into my account as fast as possible, because there's zero accountability and there's zero... If something happens to Coinbase, like what happened to Mt. Gox, where it just like everybody's shit just disappears, you're screwed. You know, so I wouldn't feel comfortable keeping that amount of money in Coinbase. I would take it out. I would just try and probably anything above $200 or $300, I would be taking out of there and just putting back in my account. And I would only put money into the wallet, aside from what I've already got in there. I would only be putting money into the wallet when I know I'd be buying something.
You just gotta make sure that you can lock down your phone so that nobody can jack your SIM card. Not physically lock it down, but like, don't use your phone number anywhere. Associate a number that's not associated with anything else to that account, because the most likely thing is somebody listening, some faggot that hasn't donated, is gonna figure out your phone number, call up Verizon on a holiday or something, or after business hours, so you can't get through to them, then beg to transfer the SIM card with like just public information, and then log into your account with the password reset sent to your new SIM card.
Yeah, if you have two-factor authentication, though, then that's...
No. That's what I'm explaining. Your two-factor authentication with Coinbase, like everybody else's, is tied to your phone. They force you to have a phone email? Associated.
They don't do email as a second factor? What?
So when they send the confirmation code to your phone, it's not your phone, because you got fucked. Somebody stole, they got your number ported, or they got your SIM card switched to a different SIM card.
I don't think you could do anything with the SIMs, though, unless you have the person's like actual account info with the telecom.
Yeah. You'd have to get public information about them.
There's a four-digit PIN, usually.
If it's a business account, there's a PIN. If it's a personal account, there isn't. Unless you've added it.
No,
social is public information, too.
I don't think so.
This has happened to many YouTubers.
Unless they hack the Social Security database, I don't know how you're going to get it.
Public information. There's the Social Security number is not secret. It is misused. And like, oh, it's secret. But
where are you going to reference? Where are you going to reference someone's social? Unless you're hacking into a database.
I don't know.
I don't think it's public.
But you can look it up. It is public. It's used for tax info. It's an identifier. That's it. It's not authentication at all.
That's a government agency. That's not you. When you. You can disclose your... Okay, I get what you're saying, but it's not public in the sense that you're saying. It's you can disclose that to a company, like when you apply for a job, your social security number is on there.
Yeah.
They can't legally distribute, they can't legally put, you can't legally have a database of people's social security numbers for like the phone book.
Because it's not supposed to be used for anything but tax purposes, but it's used for everything. Like your phone. It's
identification primarily.
Yeah. Identification is public. It's as public as a license plate, let's put it that way. It's on your fucking car.
Yeah, but that's different though, because you can trace a license plate back to someone. You're not seeing someone's social security number. Like, you're not wearing that like a badge on your shirt.
I realize that, but there are ways to find it. For example, what is that? All the social justice warriors want to get funded. Oh, Patreon, where people will subscribe and they'll have like, they'll get $20 a month from like four different people that are all giving some woman like $5 a month so that she can cry on camera or something on YouTube. It's an art piece, an art exhibit. So they'll use Patreon to get funded, but to become a Patreon producer, like I set up a Patreon account. I don't fucking use it at all. I don't talk about it ever on the show. It got hacked right after I signed up. So in that PDF that you fill out, you put in social security number, you put in all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's how you look it up. That's my point. That would cost you a couple of Bitcoin.
I'm not disagreeing with you that it would be easy to get someone's social security information. I'm just saying that when you say it's public information, that's not the case.
It's not Googleable. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, and the whole...
So spread your cheeks.
People using dead people's social security numbers. That's how a lot of the illegals in California get jobs. They're using dead people's
names neighbors?
And social security numbers. Yeah.
Yeah. Are they reanimated corpses?
It's not just that. It's everybody. It's the worst of everybody that you can think of that lives in fucking Santa Ana. It's the worst white trash bums. Like, yeah, there's a lot of fucking, like, you know, ghetto, you know, Mexicans, and there's even, I don't know, it's mostly Mexican and white, but you'll even see, like, it's like the worst of everybody. It's strange. You know, because like LA is a big place. There's lots of little areas you can LA's find garbage. That are similar. Well, there's a lot of little areas you can
find. Are you
find
considering moving to LA?
I like West LA. West LA is not bad. I mean, Hollywood's kind of weird, but like Westwood around the UCLA area, Santa Monica.
You're considering it.
At some point, yes. At some point. If I stay in the state. I like Irvine, but pretty much Orange County is getting overpopulated and priced out. There's too many people moving into Irvine and they're starting families, and it's a really family oriented city. So there's a lot of people constantly moving there, and there's a constant need for more housing. And that's why it's so expensive, because there's an actual demand for it there. Cities like Santa Ana, it's overpopulated too, but everything is just run down and dirty. It's just, there's a different, like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like you're in Orange County when you're there. Like, all the surrounding cities for the most part are way better. Like, Costa Mesa isn't that bad. I mean, Westminster is kind of iffy, but it's still way better than Santa Ana. Orange is better than Santa Ana. Anaheim is better than Santa Ana. Tustin is better than Santa Ana.
This is way too local.
It's corrupt. That's the problem.
It doesn't.
The people that run the city are corrupt.
You want to talk about aliens?
Yeah.
The No Agenda Show, the most recent episode this week. They do a second half of show thing. John C. Dvorak read this story about some Russian soldiers getting in a firefight with aliens and being turned to stone.
Like Medusa?
Like Medusa, yes.
Have you ever thought, like, what if all of those ancient, spanning all religions and all cultures, like, what if all of those ancient deities and beings like that are actually, they're actually, like, based on aliens? Like, real aliens that have those abilities or those attributes?
That would be cool. It would be just like the History Channel.
The thing
Channel.
On ancient, like, people laugh at the shows like Ancient Aliens because they are ridiculous. They are ridiculous, but there's certain things that kind of make sense when they describe them. Because why do all religions, every single religion has some form of being ascending from the sky? Every single one. And they all have their own versions of, like, angels and demons. Like, good side, bad side. They fly around. It could all be interpretations of things that have actually been seen. They just didn't know how to comprehend them, so they put them into, like, what at that time period the only influences that you would be exposed to, which is, like, hand drawn art and, like, things like that. That's how you would interpret those things.
Ancient aliens.
Yeah. Well, the problem with that show is they have to fill 30 minutes. So they work in things that actually kind of make sense, and then they work in things that are, like, these extrapolations of, like, events, and then they kind of stretch to get to, like, where it connects with aliens.
It's produced for retards.
Water, fire, air, and dirt.
All TV is. Magnets,
how do they work?
Fucking magnets, how do they work? It's for ICP fans.
All TV is produced for retards.
Air and dirt. Fucking magnets, how do they work?
Never gets old. So there's that. Aliens turning Russians into stone.
I was gonna say I would go to a gathering of the Juggalos just to see what it's like.
I don't think you'd blend in. You'd have to get some nipple piercings.
I'd have to put on another 60 pounds and
more facial hair.
Shave my head and grow out my beard, yeah.
And nipple piercings.
Or just really shitty tattoos.
Well, yeah, that'll do it.
And lots of Faygo and malt liquor.
Your tattoos have to be distorted by your obesity.
Yeah, exactly. Or, like, half finished, you know, where they're, like, half colored in.
Yeah, because you ran out of money.
Yeah. That's one of the most embarrassing things. I've seen so many people, like, that, like, they'll have a tattoo, and it's, like, some elaborate design, but it's only half filled in because they're like, oh, yeah, it's unfinished. And then, like, you'll see them again, like, a year later, and it's still unfinished. And you know that they don't have enough fucking money to pay for it to be finished. It was clearly a mistake from the start.
It's only three easy payments of $1,000.
Tattoos are a thing that I can't... You know what? If it's a small one and it's hidden away and it has, like, some significant meaning to you, then that's fine. But, like, where these people get these gaudy, this, like, full body print stuff, I don't understand what that does for you, what that does for your psyche.
Maybe it's the swollen amygdala syndrome.
It's strange to me. And then by the time you hit 50 or 60, your skin starts sagging, and then it looks like shit. And then your skin is too old, so you can't get it laser removed anymore, and you just end up with, like, this mess on your arms and legs. If it's a small one, then it's not a problem, because if you, when you age, your skin, if it's a small one, it's less surface area, so it's not going to sag as much. But those big ones where people get them, like, down their back, down their legs, and down their chest and arms, those don't last very long.
Did you hear about the guy suing Amazon for selling glasses that didn't filter the sun's rays when he was staring into the sun.
Did he go blind?
Allegedly.
I found that sounds like a frivolous lawsuit to me.
Well, the guy could have been blind to begin with. You never know.
True, but I think they can look at your eyes and tell whether or not it was caused by a like your corneas or whatever would be burned if you were looking at the sun, whereas you're blind from birth or something like that. I think everything would look normal. It's just your brain wouldn't process it right. I'm not an eye doctor, so that's probably not accurate, but that's just what I would guess. They would have to have some way of knowing the difference.
That sucks. But that's why,
you know, it's funny. I think about that a lot. Like, what would be the worst sense to lose? You would think it would actually be hearing, because if you lose your hearing, you can lose your balance. It fucks with your equilibrium.
That's interesting. So, I could never listen to music when I went mountain biking.
Yeah. Hearing actually is probably your most important sense, but sight would be the hardest to live without.
No porn. You have audio only.
No porn. You can't drive. You can't look at, you can't play games. You can't watch movies. Can't see who you're talking to. I'm talking like totally blind. Like, there's people that have blindness, like partial blindness, where things just kind of, objects look fuzzy and stuff like that.
I mean, where the center of your vision's been burned away by the sun's rays.
Yeah.
And you only have peripheral.
I would imagine if that happened, you would just see like a permanent red circle everywhere you look around.
You could never read again. Because you could never stare directly at something.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd never have sharp vision. That fucking sucks.
Yeah.
You could at least get a glimpse of a boob out of the corner of your vision, but you can never look at it.
Right.
It'd be like in the middle of the night, sometimes when your eyes are fully dilated, you can't look directly at something. You have to look off to the side to be able to make it out.
Right.
Something to do with rods and cones being more sensitive at night.
Did you ever watch the fourth season of Banshee?
No, I'm still on the beginning of season two.
I'm not going to tell you which character gets kidnapped, but one of them does. And they get exposed to, like, the way they're tortured is there's this giant panel of LEDs and they sit them down in a chair in front of it. And then they peel their eyes open. They force their eyes open and then they blast them with the LEDs, like, at full strength. Yeah.
That's weird.
And it like the way your eye responds, it hurts. Like, it makes your whole head hurt, and it's a form of torture.
Ooh, I can see
so,
that.
Yeah, and so they do it to him over and over again, and they do it for like a minute, and then they stop it, and then they do it again like a couple minutes later, pin his eyes open. Yeah.
So how did the writer of the show come across that bit of information?
I don't know. But I think it's a way to, like, torture someone without... I think it makes them go crazy, too.
And there's
it's
no like
a form of It's a form of psychological... Because pain, you could adjust to pain. Like, if you're getting whipped over and over again, or you're getting, you know, cut on wherever, or punched... It hurts, but you can kind of get accustomed to that pain. I think that kind of torture you can't really ever get accustomed to, because your eyes aren't something that can heal. It's something that just stuff happens to it, and then if you're constantly afraid of whatever that impact is going to have on you, on your eyes and stuff like that, then it can make you go crazy too.
Or you could find whatever doctor John McCain's mom's using. She's 105. He's fucking old. She's still alive.
What the fuck?
She's got to have like nanobots rebuilding her body all the time. She looks like a reanimated corpse.
Holy shit.
Did you know he has a daughter with this big like... what's that? The guy...
Oh, his daughter is hot.
No. It's just that photo. It's not. She's not. What's the guy that says giggity giggity on Family Guy?
Oh,
you know, he's got that big old Jay Leno chin.
Yeah.
Look at the other pictures of her.
Holy shit. His father died over almost 40 years ago.
She's got like E cups. She's a big woman. That's a deceptive photo that is on Google. She's looking. You never see her left profile all the way because she's got the same jaw that kind of like bulges out on that side as McCain. So she's always looking to her left and you always see her right.
So you get called a centenarian?
I guess, according to Wikipedia. Whatever she's taking, I want that.
Huh. That's crazy. 105.
She may outlive him.
Roberta. She might. Roberta McCain. Jeez. She's so old.
There's this this mattress company called Purple. They should sponsor the show. Not for the mattress, though. That's how I was introduced to them. I bought them for their butt pad. What is that? Their cushion, excuse me. I want to try their... I'm assuming that the cushion is basically made out of like cyber skin for dildos, but in this mesh arrangement so that it's squishy. Because it looks like it's a really soft, rubbery material. And it kind of collapses, so you can have stuff in your pockets, sit down, and you don't even feel it. It's like sitting on a cloud.
Huh.
So I'm getting one. So I don't have to peel my balls off of my leather chair.
What's it called again?
Purple. On purple.com. The color purple. They have some silly videos, a relatively inexpensive mattress, and a simplistic...
You know, there's a lot of bed these, frame. Like, what's it called? The Casper.
One, yeah, the one that delivers. This is different, except though. This is like their different. Own proprietary stuff.
It's like a, what is this? Oh, it's a polymer.
Polymer. I'm telling you, this is probably the dildo material.
Is there a guarantee with this? Like a 120-day thing? Because.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
for the,
good.
For the mattress, not for the butt, not for the cushion. I just need that thing for my ass.
Oh, so you're not going to get the mattress. You're just going to...
I'm going to try the seat cushion.
Yeah, I just bought a new mattress from Costco a few months ago. Costco's the place to go if you want to get a cheap mattress. A quality one. This is interesting, though. I'm trying to... Where's the butt pad on their site?
Seat cushion.
Seat cushion. Okay.
Yeah. They have different kinds. They've got, like, this mobile one. It's left cheek, right cheek, and that's about it. You can fold it in half. I can put it in a backpack. I can have a comfortable ass anywhere I go. I can sit on the lawn. I can sit on the ground. I can go to some fucking Buddhist temple, sit on my knees, and then when I sit on my ass, boom, cushion. I'll be the only one with a cushion. People will be like, what is this?
Huh.
So I'm thinking about that. Right now I got the Royal one. It's fucking $80, but... If my ass isn't numb when I stand up, I'll be happy. I just need something better than what I have.
How much is this?
The Royal? That was $80. Or 90. No, 80.
I don't want to know what the mattress costs if this is $80.
I don't know. I think it's a grand. I'm not sure. It tells you right up front, I think.
Oh, they have a Simply
back.
Oh, they have back ones?
Yeah. Huh. There you go. Get the back one. $40, I think.
Since the portable cushion is $39. Everywhere cushion. It literally looks like two giant ass cheeks being spread apart, Goatsy style.
It is the Goatsy cushion. So if my chair was bigger, like one of those... big leather thrones that people have sometimes to sit at the computer. I would have got the extra large one. That's like $130. Totally worth it if it's any good. So I will let you know.
I may buy this $130 one, the Ultimate.
I should have mine in a couple of days.
Oh, so you got the Ultimate?
No, I got the Royal. It's the Royal, okay. Just as thick as far as I can tell. So if the material's actually any good, the Royal, I think you have one of those big ass chairs, so it would fit in there. They got the dimensions on the site. I'm just afraid it's going to make me sweat. I don't like hot days. That Velcro sound of just peeling your skin off.
Yeah, I don't know. I usually am in AC now because I make up for it in the rent I pay for.
So it's blasting all the time.
Well, and I have fans on me at all times too. The nice thing about fans is you don't have to run the AC as low. You can run the AC at like 78, and you leave fans on, then it just circulates the 78 degree air throughout the room.
Speaking of fans, no popping. Shit, I just hit my mic. No popping. Excellent.
I haven't been adjusting either.
Excellent work. I heard you go back, like lean back, but it's fine. At least it's not popping.
All right.
Sounds good. I'm doing thumbs up. You just can't see it. Did you hear about that 400 gig micro SD card?
No.
SanDisk? Yeah, SanDisk.
They're like primarily a flash memory company.
That's an insanely high capacity for a very small device. I didn't think that SDXC could go that high.
Yeah, well, is it a new format?
Is SDXC... My other question is SDXC 2 terabytes? Because I know that there was like a physical limit and then the artificial ones where they just keep charging you for different formats. I don't know if it's a different format. That I didn't check on. Look right now. I saw it on Mac Rumors too, which was weird.
Yeah, 2 terabytes.
Still looking for it. I seem to have lost it. Come on.
Wait, they have an SD Spec 3. They have SDXC 2 and XDHC 2.
Bullshit. Oh, maybe it's higher speed. Okay, I found the article.
UHS 3 is 30 megabytes a second. It's 280 megabits.
It's UHS 1. So it's going to be really slow.
100 megabit.
You could die of a heart attack or something before this thing's done writing. Let's see. Let's go to Wolfram Alpha. How many hours would this be? Consult the book of knowledge. What's the speed of UHS 1?
10 megabytes a second.
Okay. 400 gigabytes at 10 megabytes a second would take 11 hours and 11 minutes. Or no, 11.11 hours.
400 gigabytes?
666 minutes. 400 gigabytes.
I think you said megabytes originally.
No, no wonder you didn't respond with enough excitement.
Yeah, that would take
11 hours.
Yeah, that's terrible.
What can you do in 11 hours? You could fly to the other side of the world.
Yeah. Well, depending where. Maybe China, not Australia.
How long's that flight from California?
Australia, that's the longest flight in the world, is LAX to Sydney. It's 18 hours.
Wow.
It's crazy.
So I really like this MacBook, but if you do anything that stresses the CPU, like a Google Hangout, while working with multiple tabs and some other stuff, you start to see the throttling and the stuttering as a result. It's technically capable of doing it. I don't know how long you can do it before the case becomes saturated with heat and then it throttles like all the way down. I haven't tested it that much, but this is probably my favorite Mac so far because it's just everywhere I want to be. I can lay in bed and do stuff.
It's really small. Yeah,
it is very limiting though. You can pretty much do any of the stuff you would do on a computer technically, but you're spreading your workflow across multiple virtual desktops.
It's basically as easy to lug around as an iPad, but it has a lot more utility.
Yeah. And what makes it really, really good, surprisingly, is Safari. I haven't used Safari in so many years that I didn't know that it had any of these features. I don't know how long it's been in there. But if you open a browser, a Safari page, like let's say /, and you do a full screen app, and you put a Safari page next to the other app, and you shrink down the Safari page so that it's just a sliver on the side of your screen. On my Retina display on this MacBook, I can squint at the little tiny pixels on the screen, and it uses the full-size desktop rendering, but shrunk down. So that it's basically iPhone size.
Huh.
So I can see a full desktop page, but iPhone width. It's not like it switched to a mobile version where it's still size 12 font, it's like size 2 font. So I can still write some code and then squint over at what is basically backside illuminated paper because it's so high resolution. I can glance at it, continue writing the code, glance over at it again, and I don't have to sit there and like scroll or control minus to make the page fit. It's just automatic. So I have to do those things in Chrome, which is fine. I'm used to doing that. Chrome is my favorite browser, but that feature of Safari right there makes this little ass screen usable. I can cover the whole screen with my hand. I mean, fingers, tips to tip, but that's a tiny screen. So that feature is totally needed. And when you use Zendesk, that website is so poorly made. It's like the GeoCities or MySpace of today. It uses a whole processor core. So you wanted a 10-hour battery? Fuck you, no way. You're getting an 8-hour battery because that browser tab just took down 2 hours of your battery life. So the solution to that is never have a Zendesk tab viewable in Safari. As soon as you click away from the tab, that processor core drops to zero again. So that's the other good thing about Safari. I didn't know it did this because it's been so long since I've used it. Your computer will run totally cool, assuming you're on a normal website that's not GeoCities. I mean Zendesk. Because it throttles any tab that you're not viewing. So even if it was in the forefront, but you switch desktops to a different task, that tab is no longer processing stuff. If it is, it's limited to like 1%. So my battery life goes from 8 hours back up to like 10. And the first day I used this thing, I had like an 10 and a half hour battery. But on a regular basis, using it every day, I've consistently seen 8 to 8.5 hours because I'm using it. So at worst, I would imagine my battery could go down to like 7.5. I'm not really sure. I've never used it that way. Who knows? Maybe a game would kill it in like 5. But that's still better than my MacBook Pro. Because the MacBook Pro is so much faster and more capable. Oh yeah, also the thing I didn't mention was just scrolling on a Zendesk webpage lags. That's pathetic. That shouldn't happen. But it's a weak-ass processor in this thing. And that's a totally really bad, like poorly made website, so it kills your battery. But I've got lots of battery to spare because the thing uses so little power compared to my MacBook Pro, which pulls like 45 watts if I use it, my worst battery life on my MacBook Pro is like 2.5 hours. If I left a game open that was just using everything and just sucking down battery, I would shrivel that battery up into like a prune. The MacBook is just like sipping away through one of those little mixed drink straws because it can't pull that much wattage. Also, it charges pretty fast. I think it was like an hour to an hour and a half. I got 80%.
So no, that's not good. Bad.
Yeah, you could charge. Really, you could pretty much. No, was it 70%? I don't know. 70%. Let's say 70. You could get a really good charge just over a long lunch. But you're going to last a whole business day. So unless you're doing meth, you're not lasting for like a 14-hour day.
Yeah. I got that Unify camera set up finally.
Oh yeah, you were walking me through the whole adoption process for the camera and the controller software.
Yeah, well, it's, you don't actually adopt it. It's what, when you install the controller, it picks it up on the network, but you have to specify that it runs the Unify video server from the camera. So there's a interface for the camera itself with its own IP address, and then there's the controller that you got to run on a machine that it communicates with. And so I've got it configured right now where it's storing any motion stuff between, you could schedule it too. So I turn it off for the first, basically from when I get to when it gets dark, I turn it off every day because I'm home and it's light out. But after, so when I go to bed, it then records motion all the way until I wake up. And then I think it stops between like 7:30 a.m. and like, I'd have to check the settings, but it's like 7:30 and 9:30, and then it records the rest of the day while I'm at work. So it's pretty cool. The software is pretty good, but the initial setup was a little clunky at first. Have you worked with any of those yet?
Not the cameras. I've worked with the security gateways. I've used the Unify stuff and I've used the EdgeRouter stuff, and the EdgeRouter stuff is finally getting something like the cloud controller.
Okay.
And the EdgeRouters are the pretty common ones that people buy because you can, I think you can do more stuff with them. They have this beast one that has like an Intel chip in it and 10 gigabit links. It's got 8 gigabytes. Gigabits per second of total bandwidth.
Wow.
So it's this big ass router for big businesses, and I think they're all fiber optic connectors, or they were all SFP ports. So does that mean that you can install a module in each one to become optical or whatever you need? I don't remember. I think that's what it is.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure either.
And then you can run a bunch of software on there if you wanted, because it's just Debian. You're going to kind of make it dirty, so to speak, and some of the stuff won't survive firmware upgrades. But if you built a script to automate the deployment of all that software in the first boot folder, then it'll do its thing, supposedly. I've looked for the first boot folder before, and I couldn't find any clear instructions on how to use it, so when I do, I'll probably talk about it here. Because you need to use it to do certain things like restrict features or configs or add a piece of software that you use when you SSH into it, like a USG or an edge router. There's no options for a USG.
Uh-huh.
The cloud controller, SSH is the only way you interact with it besides the cloud controller, which lets you do things like set dynamic DNS. So it's very simplistic.
Well, you can't run services like OpenVPN and stuff like that, can you? It's not like pfSense.
You can on the edge routers, because I think that stuff's built in, but the stuff, like pfSense, I think has a better and a better future in front of it, and it will be engineered better based on the stuff I've read about pfSense 4.0, because they're going to go to vanilla FreeBSD 11. Okay. They seem like they've got their head on straight. As far as I can tell, the Ubiquiti guys are run by a bunch of fucking Chinese. Because I made a nice little comment on their site. I brought this up before. Anyway, I made a comment on their site. They deleted all comments everywhere site-wide on every version. When they post new versions of their firmware, they use a fucking blog. The whole thing is like super amateur cowboy fire from the hip. Just amateur hour all around. So they deleted all their comments to hide my fucking comment. They did this the next day. Then all of the sudden, the site mostvulnerable.com becomes blocked. Odd coincidence.
Yeah.
It becomes blocked by Google because it was reported as a misleading website. Because it was distributing malware. But no. So you have to click this is misreported thing. It was falsely flagged as a malware website. It's an information page about malware.
Hmm.
And about sketchy ass companies that post software to the internet. Huge repositories of software, but then have zero way of authenticating the fact that the download was authentic. You don't know. Yeah. The transmission BitTorrent client was a great example. They got hacked. Their download was swapped for malware. Nobody knew about it. So people would go and update, and that would install malware because their download server got replaced. The binary got replaced. There was no authentication mechanism. There still isn't today. I showed you the picture of the guy, one of the developers with the scraggly facial hair.
Yeah.
That fucker still hasn't put he hasn't signed any of his downloads. So he's still number one on the lowest standards because they got hacked 2 times. They got hacked so many times, and that software was so widespread that it affected, that was Handbrake. They got hacked once though, and Handbrake corrected the problem right away. Signed everything going all the way back to 2006. They're good. So they're on the redeemed part at the bottom of the page. By the best practices.
Well, the transmission neckbeard can suck a dick.
Yeah. I don't think that's a neckbeard, though. I think that's just pubes on his face. A little sparsely distributed pubes.
They're probably left over from all the dick he sucked.
bringyourwallet.com/contact for feedback and suggestions. bringyourwallet.com/donate to share the show and support the show. Until next week.
Sayonara.
Oh, those guys are fast.
That's fantastic.